Dang it. What was I saying? The human dongle.
Oh, get your finger out of my eye.
Way better now that you've stopped touching it.
Yes, I was...
Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain, and the waving wheat can sure smell sweet when the wind comes right behind the rain.
Welcome back to Okla Ed. It is the official Okla Ed podcast. Hey, Scotty.
What's that, Aaron?
How many weeks are in a year?
562.
No. That's, man, you're a math guy. Come on, you know.
52 weeks in a year.
Guess what?
We're coming in on year number one.
This is our 52nd episode.
I know, but I don't think we started. When did we start?
No, I got a notification. We started 3 days or something like that, 2 days ago.
Because we've got a couple bonus episodes in there too, so.
Yes, you are right. Wait, does that mean this isn't... This is 52 weeks. A weekly episode.
Yeah.
I mean, a weekly podcast.
Did we start?
Right.
I thought we started...
The enduring questions weren't numbered, right?
They were numbered differently, I think.
Right. This is it.
Okay, 1 year in. Who would have thunk?
Happy birthday, Okla said.
You can feel free to purchase a birthday cake for Aaron and I. we'll eat it.
To Ed Camp OKC. We're going to be there.
Yeah, we'll both be there. And so if anybody's feeling willing, that's coming up on the first Saturday in March.
Yes. All the cool people will be there.
And we'll be there. And I'm sure we'll do some sort of podcast session. And if you want to celebrate 1 year with Okla Ed, that'd be great. Okla said,
yes.
Not Okla Ed.
Okla said. Mm-hmm. Well, this week's, golly, I didn't participate because I didn't know that I might be able to be worthy of such a Twitter chat. NBCT, uh-huh. National Board Certified Teachers.
Yes.
Were you NBCT'd?
I am, yes. I'm a young adult math certified.
Nice. Yeah. I am not. Because I am lazy.
It's an investment.
Things.
It is not an easy thing. In fact, it took me 2 tries to get it.
Did it? Well, I'm seeing that it is kind of a big deal. As far as, you know, reading through the tweets and such. Mm-hmm. And gosh, for those of you that are, we should have a whole session at EdCamp for you. And so we can just applaud you for 40 minutes.
Well, I don't know about that necessarily. I mean, you can if you want to. It'll feel weird, but...
So it was a whole Twitter chat on the National Board Certified Teacher.
And it really is a good way to really consider your practice and be reflective on what you're doing, why you're doing it, and to evaluate just the whole process of teaching and learning. It really is a good thing, but... You know, like all really good things, it comes with some investment of time and money.
I'll be honest, reading through the tweets kind of got me a little pumped up to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking, and I know it costs money, and I know I'll never get it back, but I don't know, it just seemed kind of cool. It seems like the best of the best were giving their stories, and I want to be the best of the best.
It's really good because it really takes you to what you're doing in your classroom, like the whole art of teaching.
Yeah, that's what
it's not theory, it's not a master's degree or PhD or anything like that. It is, and you can't even apply to go through the NBCT process until you've been in the classroom, I think, at least 3 years.
Yeah, I was reading that too.
Yeah, so.
Well, do you want to dive in?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, question one.
Our chat was hosted by...
Oh my goodness, I'm the worst. Tell us.
David Wall, who is at Wall Mover, and Melinda Parks, who is at McCap Sparks. And I believe Ms. Parks is also working on some sort of super duper graduate degree as well at OU.
Ooh, man, the best of the best gets better.
Mm-hmm. Kind of fun stuff. All right.
Yeah.
Question one.
All right. Question one. Meaning, when you see NBCT after someone's name, What does it mean to you? How do others perceive the designation? I'll be honest, I didn't pay much attention before, but since this chat, I saw several NBCTs. I saw several people, you know, who don't necessarily have the letters after their name, but were talking about their process. And I mean, seriously, seeing it all in one place, like I said, it pumped me up. I got excited. So I know the people that were saying that they have it or have gotten it. I know those people, and I know them to be people I look up to. Yeah. So I pumped up, outsider looking in.
You know, in when I was going through and rereading the checks, I wasn't able to participate either. I thought, you know what? That's a big deal. And I went and redid my Twitter profile name to include NBCT.
Hey.
Yeah. I mean, I put that I have a master's on there, so I put that in there as well, because it's a big deal. It's an investment. It's a difficult but rewarding process.
Yeah.
But you know what? The thing too is that that doesn't necessarily make me better than anybody else. It's just given me a different experience than people that haven't done it.
Right, right. Okay,
I can see. Like, you can still be an amazing teacher and not be an NBCT.
Sure, sure. So. Well, I went with Lane Walker on this one, and Lane is at Lane Walker 2. When I think NBCT, I think of someone who's reaching out to be the best they can be. We might not be the best, but we're working at being better. Mm-hmm. So I liked that.
Yeah, that's a good one. I went with Buck Hayes, Brian Hayes. He's at BHayes72. He said, I see someone who's worked hard to obtain those letters. I don't think anyone outside of education knows what they stand for. And I found myself going through tweets, identifying as having gone through the process, in certain ways. And you know what? I think Brian is onto something here. If I were to walk into the grocery store and say, hey, I have a PhD in education, people know that. But if I go, hey, I'm an NBCT, they would just be like, oh, good job. Here's the oranges.
Hey. Yeah.
I mean, you know.
So, right, right.
So question two, letters. How's the NBCT process different from gaining other professional designations?
Good question. I think that's a really good question, because I am not. We've already said that. Mm. I kind of want to be, but I'll be honest, going through the master's program, I don't know if it's just because I'm brilliant, Scott.
I mean, you're pretty brilliant.
Shut up. But it felt like if I just paid the tuition, I was getting credit. You know, it didn't seem like many people were flunking out or, you know, I don't know. It just, anyway, so this, I mean, looking through the tweets and reading through this whole chat, it seemed like it was a much more rigorous process. And so, I don't know, I can pay for some letters, or I can, well, I guess you pay for them here too, but it just seems a little more rigorous this way.
I may be
ticking off a lot of people right there.
I think it's different than your master's though, because when you're getting your master's, you're talking about a sort of a more elite group of scholars, basically, and there's a purpose for you going back to getting your master's. You're not wandering through an undergraduate degree because your mom said you had to. And,
right.
And so you're a little bit more intentional getting your master's, which I think is one reason why people don't quite, you don't see the failout rate. But you know, the other thing that's not talked about is you don't often earn your MBCT on the first try through, and some people don't ever earn it.
Ah, and so I like the idea of going for something that may be hard to get.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a challenge.
Yes. Well, I went with a Wes Fryer tweet on this one. He said, it seems like the NBCT is much more geared towards action research and improvement of personal teaching craft than educational theory, research article reading, and seat time college classes. Master's and doctoral EDU degrees have value too, but generally a different focus. And it just seems like, based on this tweet, it's more action and practice than, like you said, the research and perfecting the craft versus reading more articles.
That's exactly what it is. It really is just examining what you're already doing in the classroom and how you can do better. Like, you know, one of the things that I went through is kind of you go through and identify weaknesses and strengths, and that can be really challenging, but I didn't have to read anything specific to go through the process.
Right, right.
So Josh Turner, his ad, Turner Joshua D, he said, honestly, I'm ignorant of the MBCT process. Maybe this is something that should be mentioned in the universities and or mentor teacher program, which doesn't exist most places. And I think that I was fortunate to be around somebody who had earned this, and my master's degree was actually based on the whole process. So
okay.
I had some familiarity with it before I decided to do it.
Hey, would you tell the guy behind you to stop coughing? Tell him to have a drink of water or something.
I'd be like, there's...
I'm just kidding.
There's no guys behind me.
Question three. already. Why would a teacher who is already identified and accomplished want to engage in the MBCT process? Teacher reasons or student reasons? Man, again, I like learning. I think probably most of us do like learning and becoming better. That seems like it's right up my alley.
I had thought about MBCT and decided I wasn't going to do it until I was talking with my administrator, and he's like, you get $5,000 extra for 10 years. That's $50,000. And I thought, at the time, Oklahoma was paying for that. And I thought, you know what? That's a good point. I can do that. I can make a small investment to get that back. But
okay,
I don't know if that still exists or not.
No, because I'm seeing several people later on talking about that stipend. When did it go away and why?
I'm not sure, but I got in on the last year. I got grandfathered in on the last year. It was a budget item.
Man.
So, when you're at the bottom of the barrel and scraping, that's one of the things that gets tossed out.
Gosh, I guess so. Yeah. I went with a Rachel Crawford tweet here. Rachel is at Ms. Crawford 101. She said, because accomplished teachers know that they are never done growing. Boards put a magnifying glass on your practices. It's tough to look so closely at your flaws, but you come out a much better teacher on the other side. And I love that. She said, hashtag Ed, hashtag MBCT strong.
You know, one of my friends went through this process a couple years before I did, and then he became sort of a mentor for other English people going through it. And he goes, we get so critical on ourselves that we forget to look for the good things we're doing.
In the process?
Yeah, during the process.
Okay.
And I thought that's a really good point, because we do so many good things, but a lot of times we don't recognize that because we catch our flaws and that's what gets our attention.
Yeah.
So Deborah Thornton is at DJ Thorson. She said, you don't have to be ineffective to want to be better. The whole process forces you to focus on your teaching and to find areas to improve and put it in writing. It's tough and frustrating and insightful and helpful.
I love that. It's tough, it's frustrating, and insightful and helpful.
I'll tell you, one of the things that benefited me when I did this was pulling in community members of the community to come talk with my kids about how mathematics is used in what they're doing. And one of them was a fire chief, and one of them was a financials guy. So opposite ends of the spectrum. And they both talked about why math was important for their specific careers. And I had never done that before I went through the MBCT process. So,
wow. Yeah.
So question four, learned. What did you learn from the MBCT process? Or what have you seen others learn from the MBCT process? Is this what you were expecting?
So you go ahead and give us insight on that one.
Gosh, I just learned the value of reflecting on what you're really doing. Like, why are we doing it? What's the benefit? Why am I grading this way? Why am I managing my class in this way? We had to video class a couple different times and analyze that video. I mean, it just really digs into what you're doing as a teacher. And I just mentioned the community aspect of it. So those are things like that impacted my teaching that I just hadn't expected right away. And because that process was so reflective, it led to more reflective habits in general about teaching.
Okay.
So yeah, I went with Melinda Parks here, and she said, I learned that I was better at some things than I thought, and that I had a lot of knowledge to share with other teachers, which is not what I expected. And I think most teachers would feel that same thing.
Yeah. So I went with Dr. Melissa Shields in BCT. Hello, letters. she said, having first gone through national boards in 99 as a teacher and then renewal as admin in 2008, I can attest that my practices were forever influenced as a result of the intensive self-reflection and redirection the process demanded. I often say it was the best PD I've ever had. I like that.
It's really good. I'm telling you, it's different from your master's because it's all about your teaching.
I guess that's kind of what I thought I was going to get into with the master's. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say I'm disappointed, but I'm a little disappointed.
But it's different.
It is.
It's not the same.
I look forward to starting this.
And working on my dissertation, I think, has also helped me with my teacher practice, but in a different way than going through the MBCT process did.
Okay. All right.
So I think they're complementary.
Okay. Well, Q5, leadership. In what ways have you, or MBCTs, developed a teacher leader through or because of MBCT?
I don't feel like I've stepped into a different role because of going through that process.
Okay.
I felt like I always tried to share things that I thought were cool anyway. So I don't know. I don't know that I noticed specifically for me that had an impact.
I wonder if some districts put a spotlight on those teachers for best practices or for, observation,
Yeah, maybe. I'm not sure.
Well, I went with Michelle Waters on this one. She is at Waters English on the Twitters. She said, the most important part of the MBCT process has been learning how to explain why I do what I do. I've met veteran teachers who can't, and that doesn't help anyone. You must be able to analyze, reflect, and explain why so that other teachers can learn from you. And I thought that was really good, being able to explain, why is it that I'm doing this? Why is it that I'm using that? Why is it? Why? I love that idea.
I think Michelle's going through it right now. I think she's in the middle of the process.
Okay.
I went with Janelyn Taylor, and she is at Janelyn Taylor on the Twitters. And she said, since it took me 2 years, I learned a humbling lesson of failure. After starting again, I learned to focus on specific areas rather than generalities. And this spoke to me because... when I first submitted my packet, my box, I missed the first time through by 13 points.
Wow.
So I was close enough to see the finish line, but not strong enough to get over it. So I had to resubmit two pieces.
Well, and this is great advice for somebody like me or others out there who may be thinking about going this route. Mm-hmm.
And so I had to make that an additional investment into the two more pieces to redo. And they held on to what you did well. And you said, look, I'm going to reattempt these two pieces. And so those scores came out and the new scores went in.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. Yeah. I didn't know that either.
So. But that was 6 years ago, I think, or seven. So so I'm closing in on the end of my MBCT certification.
Oh.
I don't know if I can do it again from higher ed or not.
All right.
Well,
let's know.
Question six, the difference. With the MBCTs having a presence in many schools, what differences have you seen in the students of MBCT versus non-MBCTs? I don't know. I think this is interesting because if you're looking at the same school population, I have the same students regardless. Like, whether you're an MBCT teacher or not, we share the same students. And
sure.
They get different experiences anyway. So I think this would be really hard to...
Maybe at the elementary level where they don't, divide up classes.
Yeah, maybe.
So I don't know. Sure. Yeah, that's a good... good question. I went with Laura Searcy on this one. She is at Mrs. Searcy 112. She said, in today's Okla Ed climate, I think MBCT teachers bring a constant dedication that students need. There is so much turnover, but most MBC teachers know are career teachers who have been and willing to teach for years. Students need that consistency and investment. Mm-hmm.
I think that's a good one, because when you make that investment into the MBCT process, you are making a pretty strong commitment to staying in the classroom.
Yeah. Yeah.
I went with Kimberly Blodgett here. She is at Kimber Blodgett. She said, my whole school is fully equipped with amazing teachers, not all MBCTs. So I can't tell a difference. Nothing against the MBCTs, just praising those that are not. We all have strengths right. And weaknesses.
Well, and if it does cost money, then how many great teachers are out there that aren't doing it because there's no, you know, reward or, you know, extrinsic motivation mm-hmm. to get it?
Well, and you can get into the argument too with alternately certified, emergency certified versus traditionally trained teachers. And you know what? There's excellence in all three of those levels. But potentially with your more traditionally trained teachers, they're longer maybe.
Okay.
Or they have a different experience. I'm not sure how to say that exactly, but there's a benefit to going through a traditional teacher program, right? As opposed to being alternatively or emergency certified. Not saying you can't be excellent that way. You and I both know that there are excellent teachers that came through a non-traditional way.
No, and I believe my husband found his calling, yeah. And he's alternatively yeah. certified. Do you know, because his alt certification, after so many PD hours and everything else, turned into a certification. Can alt certified go through the process?
I'm not sure on exactly what the rules are, but when I applied, I had to have 3 years of classroom teaching experience and be licensed in the state where I was applying.
Okay.
So you just need to double check the rules, but I think that comes back to what Kimberly's saying. You can be an amazing, awesome, super great teacher and not be MBCT, but going through that process can be very beneficial.
Yes. It does, okay.
You know what I mean? Without making necessarily me going, well, you're not an NBC, Aaron, so I'm so much better than you. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I don't know. I feel question. Like I just stumbled all through that one.
Ugh. You did. It was horrible.
Okay,
yeah.
Sorry.
And he's NBCT, huh. Guys.
If you're offended by that, good.
Question
I am
seven.
On Snooters.
Obstacles. What are the biggest obstacles to attempting the MBCT process or achieving MBCT status? How can these be overcome? Scotty, tell us about your experience.
So it's cost some money and it costs some time. And those are the biggies. I think the money can be overcome a little bit. And I think the state offers some resources for that. But the time part, there's going to have to be some sacrifices made because there are things you have to do and you're on a specific deadline.
Yeah.
So it's not like you can just chip away at it for a year. You have less time than that, I think, or I did from my experience. So.
All right.
So yeah, you got to decide if you're going to do it, then you're going to have to say, okay, if I'm doing this, then I got to cut this, and this out of my normal routine.
I am the queen of adding things to my normal routine, so I will have to search long and hard on that. Well, I went with the Julie Robinson tweet on this one. I love this Twitter handle. Yeah, hello.
That's a good one.
At Teach on Your Toes. She said, compensation is a big deterrent to teachers. Mm-hmm. The process is expensive and takes a lot of time. If we don't make enough money to make it worth our time, why do it? Does it get us more respect from anyone besides our peers? Sheesh. I mean, she makes a great couple of points here. It takes a lot of time. It's expensive. And who besides me, you, Claudia, you know, Julie, really care?
I mean, it comes back to people that aren't in education don't understand what had to occur for that designation of letters.
Right.
And it's, you know, that's a challenge. And you don't get any master's credit for this either, going through this process, which would be another challenge for little people because you're making a similar investment in time. You know, there are some obstacles there. Chuck Pack, who is at Chuck_Pack, said, Time was my enemy. It seemed I always needed more time to think, more time to write, more time to adapt, more time to try new things. I dropped almost all of my other responsibilities, committees, church, school, civic, to make time. When my aunt did this, she used to meet with some girlfriends every weekend at Starbucks for an hour and a half or so. And she goes, I had to quit meeting with my friends so that I could do this thing.
Aww.
Yeah, I mean,
but seriously, good for her for doing it.
Right. And then she's used it too, that for a long time she helped other teachers that were going through the process. So, okay, question 8, connections. How have you seen the MBCT process connect to other PD opportunities like advanced degrees, PLNs, etc.? I did not do a very good job of connecting online with other people that were in a similar situation. And I was encouraged frequently to try and make those connections and was given tools to make those connections, but I chose to not make those connections because stupid. And in fact, I think if I had worked more frequently with people going through the process like I was at this, they were dealing with the same issues, the same struggles, the same challenges, I think I probably would have made it through the first time through all my, without it, with that, because I would have been in conversation with those people. And I just think it would have helped a lot, but I was too stubborn to admit that I can do this on my own because I'm brilliant. And and gosh, just having two other people to bounce ideas off of would just be so beneficial.
Right. Well, and muscling your way through doesn't necessarily bring about, you know, goodness.
Yeah, but it's like playing, you know, Call of Duty when you just go into a situation guns blazing and you die right off the bat. I mean, okay, good job. Try again.
Yeah. I really liked what June Kim had to say here. It wasn't necessarily about PD or advanced degrees, but he did say, I see it when our T's or admin want to add ed tech without reflection on purpose. Mm-hmm. And it seems as if you've gone through this, you are self-reflecting and you are being purposeful in what you're doing and you're analyzing your practice. And so you're not going to just throw in an app or tech for the sake of throwing it in, because that's what your admin wants you to do. So even from the ed tech perspective, you can see purpose behind it. And I like that.
Yeah. Hey, you see this cool pen, Aaron? I want to make the best lesson over this cool pen. Like, we should never write a lesson just for the sake of including something.
Right.
So Deborah Thornton, she's at DJ Thorson. She said, candidates develop PLNs wherever they can find them. I think it is more intense than my master's program was, but that's why you have to teach for 3 years before you start, so you can talk about your teaching. None of the others have required a classroom. And one of my good friends from Oklahoma State, she graduated with her bachelor's degree and went right into her master's program. She hadn't been in a classroom, and they gave her a couple classes to teach in college, but she's the same age as the students that she's teaching, which is weird. And there were a lot of times that she had questions like, how would you deal with this situation? Because she hadn't been in a classroom. Now, she still got a great education. She still learned a lot going through her master's, but she just had a completely different point of view.
Wow. No, that's fantastic.
And so, you know, being able to be in the classroom and do the thing just really helps.
For sure. Question 9. Mm-hmm. Or, what would it take to get more teachers to begin the NBCT process? And I think Chuck says it best here. Pack, he says at Chuck underscore Pack. He is at Chuck underscore Pack. He doesn't say that. unless he's telling people what his Twitter handle is.
Yeah.
Okay. He says, restoration of respect from the state of Oklahoma through the $5,000 stipend. And I mean, not just through that, but that's a great start. Definitely the restoration of respect.
I think it helped. And that, I mean, that was one of the ways, that was one of the biggest reasons why I did it.
Right.
I mean, because in Oklahoma, there's limited ways to earn money as a teacher. And stay inside the teaching career field, you know.
Your tweet that you chose was going to be my boom sauce, so I'm just going to let you do it because you've also got two boom sauces.
I picked a couple.
Why don't you take us out.
So
here.
I'll close us out. So my question 9 tweet and the Aaron's boom sauce tweet came from Claudia Swisher, and she is at Claudia Swisher, and she said consistent support from hashtag OKLeg. The process is costly. It takes personal dedication. It forever changes the way you look at yourself and your students. Lawmakers get returns. Accomplished T's who stay in the classroom bring back the stipend. Hashtag OKLaEd, hashtag MBCT strong.
Love it.
Because you...
Well,
you, yeah, I mean, you do. There's a return there for our schools.
And then the teacher shortage crisis goes away, and then education's on the rise, and then, you know, I mean, it's a trickle up effect, right?
There's a lot of perks to honoring and rewarding those teachers that are making such an investment into their into their classrooms. So I went with two boom sauce. So the other boom sauce tweets, I went with two here because I think it's important to consider a variety of things when you're reflecting on your practice and should I or shouldn't I. And so Shane Sanders, who is at edu_sanders70, said Michael Jordan had a shooting coach. The great ones always felt there was room for improvement. So for those of you under 30, Michael Jordan is one of the most amazing
he was somebody
basketball players of all time. I mean, you may have heard of this guy, LeBron James. Well, LeBron is in Michael Jordan's shadow, okay? So that's how good he was. And he had a shooting coach. And that's incredible because as a teacher, and a good, I consider myself to be a pretty good teacher. I'm sure you consider yourself to be a pretty good teacher. I'm sure a lot of people listening consider themselves to be good teachers. We can always improve. And sometimes we just need somebody else to help.
Yeah. Okay, and then the next one. I think if there's any way to add like an applause, you know, here at the end of it, can you add that in? Because this one is awesome.
So I went with Jennifer Williams, and I love when Jen, her hashtag is, or her Twitter is at Jen Will Teach, and I love it when she comes into OKLaEd because she really does. She just gets right to the heart of the matter, and she does it in 140 characters or whatever.
And she hasn't been in here in a long time, so I love that she found some time to get in here.
Me too, me too. She said, can't a team invest in self-reflection, personal growth, be committed to excellence, and push themselves without jumping through expensive hoops? Someone's making some serious dollars off of tees. Hashtag OKLaEd. Yeah. And she said, kudos to those who do MBCT. No shame to those who can't afford it or grad school.
Insert applause here. That's awesome. Thanks.
So there you go. The old NBCT chat with Starman in his Roadster pictures. So I put those tweets in there because they were just kind of fun.
So next week on the Twitters, I'm really excited.
Me too.
We're going to be Ed Camping.
Yes.
So we're going to talk about Ed Camp.
Yes. And it'll be another... we'll actually be conversating with our hosts, I believe, Aaron. We're meeting up at a local place.
Yes, not for that one, though. We are... No, I know. That's just the thing that gets us all in the same place at the same time. Those people are Laura Searcy and Josh. They're doing the week after chat. We're going to hit their interview the week before they do their chat.
Well, I was all excited, but now I'm not excited anymore.
But we still get to talk Ed Camp OKC.
Okay, right. So that's awesome.
The day after Ed Camp OKC. Mm-hmm. Yep. Right? No?
Yep.
Yeah.
Maybe we could do some sort of interviewee podcasty thing.
What? That would
Ed
be
Camp
awesome.
OKC.
That would be so awesome.
The podcast. There you go.
No. We're talking about Ed Camp OKC the Sunday before we go to Ed Camp OKC. So we're going to pump you up on Sunday the 25th.
Okay.
So that you can go on Saturday the 3rd.
Right.
That's what we're doing.
And let me tell you, there's this little thing called donuts, and they're going to be at Ed Camp. So if you're an OKLaEd hashtag follower, you know donuts are a deal.
And I can't guarantee... There won't be any unicorn sightings, Megan Lloyd.
There's unicorns?
I said I couldn't guarantee that.
Do they poop rainbows?
I listen.
So.
All right.
All right.
Dang it, Apple.
I am saving the world.
Sometimes I really hate Apple.
I'm super busy.
I really love Apple, but
I don't have 30 seconds, Aaron.
Adapters, dongles. Yep.
We're only saying you're doing fine, Oklahoma.